Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Tracy.
Yes, sir.
Next item on the agenda is Charles Cooper.
Me again.
Perfect.
In addition to the protest letters that are in your packet, we received one additional yesterday. There's copies for everyone. And
thank you, ma'am.
It was just faxed right now, so I have no copies.
Why don't you just read that into the record as part of it, and then you can provide it to the recording secretary to have it. Would be fine.
Okay. Commissioner, would you like me to read that into the record now or just as I go along?
Toward the end.
Yes, sir. Kathy, let's go right to the slides, please. Thank you. Commissioner Bowman, members of the Commission. Charles Cooper requests authorization to install four private aids to navigation adjacent to his property situated along the Lafayette River in Norfolk. The project is protested by several residents in the vicinity. Mr. Cooper's property is situated along the Lafayette River, upstream of the Hampton Boulevard Bridge, which is here. The waterway is approximately 1,600 feet wide in this location. Mr. Cooper has applied for a permit to install four day markers in order to clearly identify the limits of his channel, which provides access to his pier from the main channel in the Lafayette River. According to the application, Mr. Cooper plans to purchase a 34-foot-long powerboat with a 14-foot beam and a 3.5-foot draft, and he would therefore like to mark his channel. This is a aerial, Mr. Cooper's existing pier, and a ground shot, just to give you a feel for what that looks like. The plan view drawing, and you'll see Mr. Cooper's dredge cut here, his channel and his turning basin. I'd like to add four day markers in these locations. And again, an aerial, just to get you oriented, this is again, Mr. Cooper's existing pier. Lights, please, Kathy. At the time when the evaluation was written, there were six local residents in protest of the project. I believe with these new letters, we're up to 9 or 10. Each letter notes concern regarding the channel markers posing a safety hazard to water skiers and other recreational uses, a visual nuisance, and setting a bad precedent. Most of the letters cite that if Mr. Cooper is allowed to install these pilings, then there's concern that multiple people will apply to install navigational day markers at their channels. Mr. Compo, Mr. Robeson, and Mr. Councilman all further note that the distance from the main channel to Mr. Cooper's channel to his pier is approximately 300 feet and should be easily navigated without the markers. Mr. Traylor, Mr. Smith, Mr. Clark, and Mr. Councilman all note that the installation of a navigational range marker on the pier would be able to provide Mr. Cooper with the assistance he desires for navigation without installing pilings in the river. Mr. Clark also suggested that reflectors could be added to the pier to assist in the navigation from the main channel to Mr. Cooper's pier. The U.S. Coast Guard did review this plan and authorized the installation of the day markers. They also call that private aids to navigation. On September 16, 2006, you'll see that that permit is contained in your packet. In summary, when reviewing the proposals to encroach over state-owned submerged lands, staff considers, among other things, water dependency and necessity of the proposed structures. The intended goal of this review is to limit encroachment with the minimum amount necessary to reasonably achieve the intended use. Navigational day markers are, of course, water dependent. But staff believes that a range marker located on the pier should provide the navigational guidance that Mr. Cooper is seeking without any further encroachment over state-owned submerged lands. The range marker would also avoid the conflicts that the nearby property owners are concerned about with the other uses that are identified that take place here in the waterway. Therefore, after evaluating the merits of the project against the concerns expressed by those in opposition, and after considering all the factors contained in Section 28.2.1205, Subsection A of the Code of Virginia, staff does recommend denial of the project as proposed. And in accordance with Commissioner Bowman's direction, I'd like to read this last-minute protest letter that we've just received.
And this letter is not in any way to be an exclamation point or whatever. It's Tracy simply reading this because we don't have the benefit of having copies to spread around. I thought this would be a more functional way of doing it.
Yes, sir. Thank you. This letter is addressed to Jack Travelstead. Dear Mr. Travelstead, this letter formally requests that the VMRC Commission reject the above reference proposal. I've been a resident on the Lafayette River since September 1988. I have two boats behind my home and utilize the Lafayette River daily. I have two sons, ages 12 and 16, that are avid sailors, sailing out of the Norfolk Yacht and Country Club. As Mr. Cooper's property is situated within 500 yards of the yacht club, I'm intimately aware of the adverse effect of this proposed waterway improvement will have on the surrounding environment. I enjoy the river and the recreational value that it provides to the greater Norfolk community. There is little doubt that the proposed improvements will create a safety hazard, which cannot be overstated. The proposed location of the 8th Navigation will intrude far into the river, creating a very dangerous situation. Further, access to Mr. Cooper's pier is currently unobstructed and requires no navigational aids. Thank you for your consideration of this request to reject the above reference proposal. Very cordially yours, William W. Granger III.
Thank you, Tracy.
Thanks, sir.
Anyone have any questions of Tracy? Ms. Fox?
Yes, sir.
Tracy, is there any way to indicate on this aerial photo where those pilings might be?
The other last one, I think. Can we put that last one up, Tracy? The last one.
Does that help you, sir?
No. I'd rather see it on the, if you could just pinpoint it with a light. How far out would the farthest one be, I guess is the question.
I could take a stab at it, but I don't think I would be accurate.
Take a stab.
His basin, of course, is surrounding his pier here, so there'd be the two inner ones here, probably here and here.
Very, very difficult to do.
Because of the daylight I had today, we can't see the shoals like we could with Chip's proposal. So
okay.
It's hard
I'm seeing a little white line down below, kind of going diagonally across the screen. Is that where?
The wake, probably.
Yeah. They don't want to get that far.
I don't think so, no.
Okay.
Any other questions, Tracy? Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Tracy, do you have any idea what the water depths are where those are being proposed?
Sure.
To be located.
You have soundings here, 2 feet. Here, the main channel, at 6 feet.
Those are mean low water depths of minus two. And
my understanding is, yes, they are.
Okay. Any other questions, Tracy?
Put two lights here.
Yes,
Mr. Tankard.
Yes, sir.
The range marker, tell me a little bit about that. I'm not sure I'm familiar with those.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm glad you asked that, because neither was I.
You have two basically vertical structures. One is higher and one is lower. And as you come in line with the channel, they would be aligned with each other, and you just go straight in, accounting for the tide.
So you use them in multiple more channel, things like that.
Gotcha. Those bright lights that you see, all of a sudden it's bright. When it's bright, it's right.
That's how you come and take calls.
Same thing.
Range lights, yeah.
Any other questions of Tracy?
And one thing you never want to see on a ship is the two of them lined up.
That's
so
right.
You get ready to run over.
Thank you, Tracy.
Thanks, sir.
The applicant here represented? Come forward, sir. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Bowman. My name is Charles Cooper. I am the applicant.
Here's your right hand. Do you solemnly swear the testimony that you'll give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do so.
Thank you, sir.
I don't have many copies, but I've got a chart of NOAA. of the Lafayette River that is up to date as to this December 9th, 2006. That's great. It's this area right here. Well, you don't get the definition, unfortunately. My point, have you got a pointer or I'm technologically primitive. I'm sorry. I don't know how to use this thing.
You and I both.
Oh. I am this point right here. And if you actually have the chart, you will see, obviously I'm nervous, there is a shoal area that starts here, goes around here, and comes back here. I have a very, very long pier, which I don't want. It was originally it was built in sections and rebuilt over the years from 1946 until 1994. The plat. I beg your indulgence. You really got to take a look at this thing.
You'll see that it is a huge shoal. It goes out about 270 to 300 feet right in front of the property. That's why we had to build such a small pier. And the reason it was short earlier is I grew up on part of the rowboat. I was 8 years old when I started on this.
I'm sorry. I was 8 years old when I started on the dock, and eventually I got a 14-foot Boston Whaler, and we couldn't get it into the 100-foot area, so we brought it out another with permits, another 130 feet, I believe, and that's how we got the 230 feet. And then we had a little floating rectangle about 16 feet off of that, and that got me to a foot and a half of water. When I had this other boat built by the Stevens family up in Whitestone in Irvington. It's a 34-foot boat. It's got a deep V. It's between 3 and 3.5 feet deep, and I can't get it in or out. So at the time that we were building a new and the floating dock had to be bigger because instead of an 18-foot boat, I had a 34-foot boat. So we ended up with a 40-foot floating rectangle with a slip in the middle of it. And at that time, we did the dredging with all the permits in 1994, 4 feet mean low water. We also have a very interesting, not only do we have a depth problem, but unlike the, I saw every time I've done an application, it's done by agents, and they said it was mostly sand and silt and some clay. As it turned out, when the Mr. Shucker actually did the dredging, he found out it was a little bit of silt, a little bit of sand, and 90% clay, and it was the hardest dredging job he said he ever had in his life. And it took him over 2003 into early 2004. At the time, the boat was ready in September of 2004 when I brought it in. And the problem is, if you go out of, I have a 30-foot entrance channel, and then I have just while the turning basin says it's 100 feet wide, and it's 80 feet deep. It's mostly that 40-foot float, and it's got about 20 feet channelwood dredged in front of it. So I have to be very, very careful about making my turn to back into the slip in that turning basin. That's what it's for. And if I get out of that, get out of the turning basin, I go aground. It's hard clay. It's damaged to the boat, damaged to the props. Even though I'm going very slow, there are logs in there. There used to be a forest hundreds of years ago in there. So I really have to stay in my approach channel, and I have to stay in the turning channel. There seems to be, unfortunately, miscommunication between, and I guess it's part my fault, and with my good friends who are neighbors, and that is that I don't need this for navigation, except for the turning basin. I know how to line up because of the church. There's a lighthouse steeple with a naval facility across the river, and I can line up and do my reach coming in. My problem, and the reason we were having the first two, number one and number two out there, or number two and number three, was that in the last 5 years or 4 years since we've had the devastation of the crab crop, that we've had watermen who come into the river from different news and Hampton and the James River who are not familiar with the local setup. And I've talked to the watermen who regularly walk to the river. We have a nice arrangement. They stay out of they know more or less where the channel is, and they stay out of it. These other folks come in. I don't know who they are. They change, and they're in and out every couple of weeks, depending on who they what the crabbing conditions are. They move the pots, they're gone, they're in and out, and I have no way of telling them, please, would you mind staying out? And that's why I wanted the two further out to kind of indicate to them, please stay out of that channel, because when I come in, I don't have any maneuvering space, and there's a lot of wind that comes out of the southwest. That diagram, the top of it, you're looking south, and if you went about 75 degrees to the right, you get the winds that come from the southwest, the prevailing winds, that can blow you right out of that channel. So I really have a hard time. I have to be exact coming in. That was the reason for the two out there. The two close in is I have to know where I can make my turn to back into the slip. Now, I have, unfortunately, Chick Robinson and I have talked, and I understand his visual problems. He happens to be at an area where I do tend to obscure his view of the river, and I'm very sorry. I've got a whole slew of pictures I took yesterday from every other vantage point, and it only seems to be two houses that are affected that way. That's Mr. Robinson and I believe Mr. Campo. So they don't want the pier to start off with, which I can't help. But I have listened to them. And I'm most impressed with someone who's not visually obscured by this. And this is a late neighbor of mine, Sarah Greer, who died about 2 weeks ago. And her daughter, who's here today in opposition to this, showed me a letter that her mother, she had a photocopy of a letter, a handwritten letter to me, saying, please don't mess up the river any more than it is. We've already got so much things, and although I hadn't received the letter, I do have it now, and I think you ought to have it, and I can read it to you if you like. But it is, you know, it's to be in all fairness, I think you ought to have.
That's fine.
Is
this a copy?
That's a photocopy.
Okay.
That's all I ever got.
That's fine. I just want, because we have to keep.
Okay, and also a letter from her daughter, who found the letter, found the photocopy.
Tracy, is the daughter's letter come in the packet?
No.
It's not either one? Okay. Jane Greer Cole. Is Miss Cole here? Okay, that's fine. That's all I need to know.
But I, in all fairness, I just want to let you know, I do have one neighbor who's actually on my point. Not in visual, doesn't see, she's around the side, but she was a wonderful steward of the river. She and I both grew up in the river. I've been there since I was 8 years old. She's concerned about the interaction between power boats out in the channel and smaller vessels, kayaks, canoes, little dinghy sailing boats that have to stay out of the channel. And she doesn't want any more obstructions than possible. I have listened to, we talked for about an hour last week, and I listened to her. And then I looked at some of these objections. I only had two letters. I hadn't seen anything else. And what we have here is a problem between a safety problem for me as opposed to a safety problem for many other people who use the river. And I think there is a compromise. And it's not the day marker. It's not that range marker because I understand how I can get in. I'll just have to live with the crabbers. I'll just do it. There's two sticking further out, number two and number three. I think that's what everybody's really upset about, because that really is where people water ski and sail and everything else, and I guess they don't need any more obstructions than they need. The one that are number four and number five are absolutely necessary for me to be able to not damage my boat when I come in and be able to turn it. It's only about another 15 or 20 feet off my dock. It really, nobody should be water skiing in there. Nobody should be sailing in there. It's too close. It would be dangerous whether there was any. And so the people who are in there are people who are kayakers and canoeists, and I see them all the time. And they don't have it. They're going slow. They shouldn't have any problem seeing the two-day markers right close into my dock.
Instead of them being day markers, what about orange flotation balls or something similar to that that are not as solid, not as hard, do not then become aids to navigation?
Absolutely fine for me. I'm subject to compromise. I just need to be able to know where I can safely make my turn to come in.
Something that if a kayaker or someone were to come in contact with it, it would not be problematic. And I'm just throwing this out for consideration, because I'm going to have to check with my very learned staff before we pursue down this avenue. I certainly understand, after reading the letters of protest and concern about the day marks out there, I don't like the precedent as far as it would set, as far as crabbers are concerned, because if I do that for you, everybody that's got a pier is going to be up here wanting day marks of 15, 20, 30 feet in front of their pier to restrict crabbers who, under public trust doctrine, have just as much right to be out there as we do boating. So I will, since I've planted that seed, what we'll do is we'll listen to the protestants come up, and I'll ask the question of them pertaining to that. And
So we're talking about number four and number five.
That's what we're talking to.
Period.
I think you've taken two and three off the table.
Less fact is, I had pictures of. I went around to my neighbors, and I found this sort of stuff in all their channels. All the people.
That's what I commonly see as well.
And I said, well, is that okay? And I asked Tracy today. She says, no, that those don't
unless work. It's oyster ground.
So I don't know what I'm supposed to be putting. Fact is, Ms. Cole has suggested something like that, and it was fine for me.
Let's see how we let's see what the I think we know now what your concept is, Mr. Cooper, and what you're asking for.
Okay.
Let's hear from the protestants in the matter, and what we'll do that is in you listen very attentively, please, to them, because you'll have 2 or 3 minutes to respond after they come up.
And I
we'll try to work something.
I do apologize for taking up your time with this, because this is something if they had. I only knew about two people. I didn't know about the rest of the people.
Mr. Cooper, as I said before, and this commission's time is your time. That's why we're here.
Okay, but we could have perhaps worked out a compromise.
Well, we'll see what we can work out here. I love compromise. The right kind. Anyone in opposition like to speak to this matter? Yes, sir. Come forward, please. Good morning.
Good morning.
Raise your right hand.
I will.
Solemn swear the testimony that you're going to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, sir, up your God.
I do.
State your name, please, sir.
Charles Robinson, 1313 Laurel Crescent, Norfolk. And,
good to have you here, sir.
Thank you. And good morning to you,
morning.
Commissioners. I, too, serve on a commission similar to VMRC, and I appreciate your time and so forth. It takes a lot of time and effort and thought. Mr. Cooper and I are riverfront neighbors. I'm about 200 yards downriver from him, and we've known each other for quite a while. We've served on political committees and civic committees together. I've lived in my house 30 years, and Charles, the best I can figure, you're 50 years plus, and I'll just leave it at that, okay? We have similar boats. This is a little bit bigger than mine. We both know where the shoals are in the river. They've been there for a long time. I only knew them as mud flats. I didn't realize we had any clay out there, but that maybe it is clay over his way. And I know the access is to my pier, and I know where I have to motor around to avoid the shallow spots and so forth. And I would think Charles would know that by now, too. And I don't even have the advantage of a private dredge canal, but I can still get in and out. The drawings that have been submitted with the application would indicate that his existing pier is about 272 feet in length. And I think that the most of the piers in our neighborhood or in our river are most 80 to 120 feet in general. And I do have a picture, and I didn't realize we had this many commissioners. If y'all can keep those and share them amongst yourselves, if you look up and down the river, you can see that, again, 100 feet plus or minus is the norm. So the Cooper Pier being almost 300 feet is an exception, and yet I understand his need because there is a larger shoal there than otherwise. Adding four additional day markers, as we saw the application, and going out almost, well, I think it's 512 feet if you add it up from the application, just seems a bit unnecessary to me, and putting folks at risk and setting a bad precedent. I think the major concern for myself is the safety issue. We've raised children on the river. I grew up on the river on the Edgewater side, and for years we sit on our porch and watch the kids water ski, wakeboard, all that sort of stuff. And you know how they are running boats. You just don't want any more obstruction out there than you absolutely have to have. And I just have a hard time believing that four more pilings are that necessary for one person. Three generations of kids have been out there doing that on the river, and let's continue to keep it safe for the next couple of generations, and that may even include the Cooper grandchildren. Another personal thing with from my vantage point, now Charles mentioned it a minute ago, and I'll pass these pictures along. From our porch and yard, you view upriver are those pictures, and you can see his existing pier without the pilings on the day markers obstructs the whole view upriver. Well, we've lived with that. When you put the addition on the pier in the 90s, was it, Charles, 93, 94? We didn't object, let it go. But to add another...
Actually, that was done in 83.
Okay. 93. Well, we were there in 83, too. But anyway, it just doesn't seem necessary for me to obstruct the view by more pilings and those great big triangular day glow things up there on top of them.
What about the two low-profile balls? I don't know if you're familiar with what we're talking about. Have you ever seen them before? They're used by gill netters a lot of times. Some big around 2 foot in diameter.
Well, I understand that, but I also have a little bit of a heartburn about that relative to the opportunity of these kids on boats to run into them. And I think that some of the others here will talk about that in a minute, okay?
All right.
And I think it's incumbent upon us as stewards of the Virginia rivers to make them safe and usable for everybody, and I suspect you all agree with that. And I'm very apprehensive about setting the precedent of day markers for private piers. And as soon as we set one, we could end up with numerous of them, and then all you'd have is the main channel to use. And I think we need to be very, very careful about
that. These would not be day markers. They would not be considered day markers.
I understand that, but as the
permit was
submitted, it was day markers. And so, actually, as the plan is submitted, I respectfully request that you deny the request. And if there are any questions of me, I'll be glad to try and answer them at this point.
Any questions from members of the commission? Mr. Tankard.
Reviewing some of the letters, Mr. Robinson, it seems to me that there's the main channel and then the area around the main channel that's used for recreation. Is that sort of the setup?
That's correct.
One lady mentions that she tells her children not to be in the main channel.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
I just want to make sure I understand.
And the shoals to the main channel, if you know that area, some of it's rather shallow, and you have to be careful. But the kids that grow up around there, they learn where they can go and where they can.
Sure.
And we're, honestly, some of us tell our kids to stay out of the channel because there are some fairly large-sized boats that run up and down the channel. So we tell the kids to stay out of the main channel.
Mr. Holland.
I understand that you are objecting to the proposal I submitted. Would you also object to 4 and 5 being off 10 to 12 feet as a 2-foot round balls to help him in a turning basin?
Well, I'd rather not see him there, but if that's a compromise we can live with and they come in at 10 feet, possibly that's okay. He's already got a set of pilings out here. You all may not be able to see him, but there's a piling right here and right here that he rolls his boat around on when he lays the side of the boat up against it and reverses in. Again, no disparity, but somebody who's lived there as long as he had heavily channeled bridge, I would think he'd know what the turning basin is, and do we really need that sort of thing?
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Any others in opposition? Yes, sir. You can come forward. Good morning.
Good morning.
You raise your right hand. You solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
State your name, please.
I'm Christopher Clark. I'm a neighbor around up in the channel. I'm next door to the George Compo. I have a 45-foot vessel I go in and out of pretty regular. The compromise things, that's interesting to me. I guess basically everybody knows my position. I'm with everybody else. It would be a totally bad idea to put number 2 and number 3 out there. I guarantee you some kid on a boat or some tube where those things swing.
I think the applicants pulled that off the table.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, I guess I'm going to skip to everything. I wouldn't be opposed to maybe number 4 being some kind of soft marker. I don't see why we would need 2 of them. He comes in and he noses, he could nose up to number 4 and then back into a slip. Based on where number 4 is, you could probably guess where number 5 would be. Maybe we could get by with just number 4.
Right.
And that's basically all I
have. Thank you, sir. Any questions from the commission? Thank you very much. Anyone else in opposition? Yes, sir. First of you. You can come on up, have a seat on the front row if you'd like. You're fine. Get you next. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Do you solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? State your name, please.
My name is Armistead Dye, and I grew up on that river there every day of the summer. Me and my friends spent on that river. My father was born in a house 3 down from where Charles is now. He grew up on the river in the 20s and 30s. My children now are 11 and 14, and we live upriver a couple miles in a neighborhood called Lakewood. And the fact of the matter is that any child on the river that's past Charles, which is basically past Hampton Boulevard Bridge, he's at the choke point there. Everybody that lives down there, dozens and dozens of children, or have to come past Charles's house to get to the country club, which is where they go during the summer to play tennis. I mean, my children take tennis lessons, and that's how they get to the club. We're working. They take their little 16-foot John boat. In fact, we have what we call boat pool in the Lakewood neighborhood where the kids get together. Several take lessons and are on the clubs, the old tennis club over there. And that's how they go. We ask them, really, try to stay out of the main channel with the big boats. How do they get to the club? They go down the river, under the Lakewood Bridge, under the Grand Street Bridge, around the corner, around the bend, and then they come to Charles's, which is right before the Hampton Boulevard Bridge, the main part of the channel where all the big boats come in, if they can get under there and go to Collie Avenue. And every child in their little boat goes basically between the end of Charles's Pier, which is already 200 and some feet out, and where the channel is. That's the safe passage as I see it. I would object to any kind of marker. I know Charles is a longtime boater. My parents who live in Crisfield, my father-in-law, see him up in Chesapeake Bay in Crisfield. He's a good boater, longtime boater, and I believe knows this river well enough, as I do, to where he shouldn't require anything in the river. And the danger of it is the precedent that it would set, and I can think of nothing more dangerous in our river to have that precedent set, to where other people down upriver where I am, where the channels, the river narrows, and the houses and piers are closer to the channel, and then they're going to start putting markers and whatnot in the river. It is the scariest thing I've heard about in 100 years in the Lafayette River, in my judgment. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next. Good morning. Raise your right hand. You solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, sir. Help you God.
I do.
State your name, please.
I'm John R. Stokes. I live in Norfolk, Virginia, right across the river on the other side of the bridge. Like many of these folks, I grew up on the river, been sailing there. I row on the river, used to row daily, not quite so much now. I have three boys who actively sail on the river. I taught sailing there for 10 years. I've been coaching high school sailing for the past 10 years. So I see that river quite a bit, and I've observed it from a lot of different perspectives. As Mr. Dye mentioned, that is a sort of choke point on the river. That stretch of the river is the favored stretch for the kids that like to ski and like to wakeboard. The little area there between the existing channel marker and his pier, as shallow as it looks, it's deeper than the other side of the river, and that is part of the regular stretch for skiers and the wakeboarders. Adding any sort of navigational aids to navigation in there adds a degree of hazard for any kid that's skiing and wakeboarding in there. I row. Rowing has become more and more popular. There's now a rowing house on the river. It is an extremely popular sport there. The problem with rowing is that you're looking backwards, so you have to sort of memorize where the markers are on the river. That is a beautiful side of the river to row down. You're out of the channel, even though the channel is nearby there. Adding additional markers in there, you know, just adds one more thing that you have to look out for. Mr. Cooper is, you know, a great person in the neighborhood, and I have never objected to anything on the river before in my life. I hate to be up here objecting to what he's asking for. I believe from my experience it's unnecessary and would be degrade the use of the river for everyone else that's out there. So I hate to object, but I think I have to.
Any questions from the commission? Thank you, sir. Anyone else in opposition? Just raise your right hand. You solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
State your name, please.
My name is Andrew Cole, and I am here as a parent who has two daughters that have enjoyed and will continue to enjoy the Lafayette River. I am also here as an emergency physician who has had the unfortunate experience of taking care of a 14-year-old girl that struck a piling while water skiing in our local waterways. And while it wasn't a lethal injury, it took many months of healing and pain for her to recover. Being able to watch the Lafayette River and seeing the hundreds of people that enjoy the river every day, I think we should do everything possible to remove any hazardous or not to allow any hazardous obstructions in the river that could potentially harm them.
Any questions from the commission of Dr. Cole? Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Raise your right hand. Solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I will.
State your name, please.
William Councilman. I am a river pilot here in the state of Virginia. I happen to be the senior pilot right as at the moment, and with over 40 years' experience. We as pilots would kill to have three times the length of a ship or a boat to turn the vessel in. We're normally turning ships in turning bases with less than 10 meters on the bow of the stern. So is it possible to get his turning basin up there?
I think that's the best.
Tracy, that is it?
Okay, Tracy, the turning basin.
Dock right in the middle of that?
Yes.
It would seem to me that these markers are unnecessary. Or the reason being, he's already stated he has a very long dock. I was going to come up here and say, we use ranges as pilots all the time. That would be perfect to mark it for coming in and out. He's now said he can get in and out without a problem. So that shouldn't be an issue, I guess. He could use that same range or use his dock to turn on, realizing he's got 50 feet on either side of the dock. If that's a problem at low water, he could come in, bow in, and not have to turn the vessel and not have to go aground.
Do you reside in the area?
I'm just south of him on the south bank. And that's another thing. I'm 2 to 3 times the distance off the main channel that he is. If I come before you guys next year, I'd need 8 or 10 buoys or day markers to mark my pier to get to the main channel, which I think would be ludicrous. But I believe he can turn without a problem off his dock without any aids, whether it be the floating ones you were speaking to, and definitely not the day markers.
All right.
So definitely, on my perspective, it's not an issue of what it looks like. It's a safety issue.
Right.
And I heard him say that kids shouldn't be in there, and we all know that's going to happen. You know, you can't keep them out. And if there's a way they can hit a marker, they're going to hit a marker.
Yes, sir.
It's just a hazard we don't need in the river.
All right. Thank you. Any questions from the commission? Thank you, sir. Anyone else in opposition? Is anyone else going to speak in opposition to this matter? Just raise your right hand. Stand and raise your right hand and be sworn. You solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I will.
Thank you.
My name is George Campo, and I live over on Law Crescent next to Chris Clark. And I just want to concur with Mr. Dye that I'm still opposed to any markers.
Thank you, sir. Yes, ma'am. Come forward, please. Good morning.
Good morning. I'll be quick, too. Thank you, Mr. Cooper, for presenting my letter to everybody and my mother's letter. And I will dispense with all this because it's pretty much been discussed. I think that maybe a crab trap marker of a certain color that Mr. Cooper knows would be a perfect signage for him that would fit right in with the rest of the river and the crab traps, maybe one, rather than a 2-foot size one that still would be an obstruction in my mind. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir. You state your name for the record, please.
David Greer.
That
was my mother's letter, by the way, that came in. I'm soon to be moving to the lane where Mr. Cooper lives, the house I grew up in, next to the house he grew up in. So we're all familiar with the river, and I think we've covered the points here. Certainly appreciate the cognizance of the danger of the pilings out there in the river and taking those away. I think that the compromise of a buoy, again, we worry about the precedent of more buoys down the road. Temporarily, Mr. Cooper could put crab trap markers out there so he could learn his turning basin. Once it's learned, you know, they don't have to be there anymore. They'd also keep the crabbers away. Can I put something on this overhead?
If someone can be kind enough to assist him in getting that side lighted up, illuminated.
But I think that, you know, I think where we're here, we solved the biggest problem, and that is the navigation aids coming off the main channel. The way the river's configured here is the Hampton Boulevard Bridge splits the river pretty evenly. But after you come under the bridge going east, the channel drifts over to the north to Mr. Cooper's side of the channel. And any boater coming up that way first is going to encounter a couple of day markers that are put to mark a cove dredge, but it's obvious it's in front of a cove. Then if you encountered private day markers, even close to his pier, a boater might think he's in one of those dog legs like you find sometimes on the Northern Neck or the seaside and would be confused by the what look like official channel markers. Meanwhile, any boater traveling east-west is not going to see the face of those signs because they're facing the channel, so he'll have a bare marker with no reflective lights. Now, I think we know that rock fishing is so popular now. Many, many people live on the river. Hop in the boats and go out for a couple hours rock fishing. They're using this river a whole lot more at night than they ever did. Meanwhile, there are a lot more lights around the edge.
Was this a nighttime collision?
This was a nighttime collision. The Chesapeake Bay, that's a 39-foot boat. The piling is 17 feet into the boat, and that was up in Maryland, the Chesapeake Bay side. And I think that emphasizes the danger. So we have the danger issue we've talked about. We have the confusion in navigation with more and more. And then if we get down to a compromise of small buoys, at most a crab trap float, which looks like a crab trap float. But once people start putting orange buoys out, you're going to see more orange buoys. They're going to be tight. You're going to see the white PVC pipes and everything else. And I just think it's, you know, one learns one's channel, one learns one's basins, and then once that's done, we don't need any kind of structure there at all. And I think just the other folks have covered those. You know, and we're all here. We're all neighbors, and this is what this board is here for, to help us resolve this problem. Nobody's after anybody, and we certainly appreciate
it. Very, very obvious.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Cooper, you got 2 minutes to respond.
Number one, you do have the flat up there, and I do disagree with one thing. I believe it is deeper on the other, on the southern side than on my side, although people certainly use both sides of the river to stay out of the channel. I absolutely agree that kayaks and canoes and small sailing craft that get swamped should stay out of the main channel. I've instructed my own children, and I'm about to instruct my grandchildren about the same thing. That's number one. Number two, could Tracy here?
She's right behind you.
Could you do the training basin for 1 second?
Sure. What the?
Yeah, that's the, that.
Mr. Cooper, you've got to stand at the microphone. Yes, sir.
All right. The turning basin is right here. This is 40 feet. The whole thing is 100. So basically, I have 30 feet on each side to turn. My boat is 34 feet. I'm not more than so. The problem is we get very prevalent winds out of the southwest, and I have to play to get into it. I don't like to use those turning posts because they're full of barnacles, even if I put fender material on it. But I have to because otherwise I'm going to float down to the other side and go harder ground, one way or the other. I really absolutely need something like this. I can't judge it. It's windy. If I veer on the side of caution, I'll turn right into the hard mud, not mud, clay, and I think I'm got the only clay on the river, because I know right around the other side of our point, it's all mud. If I err and come in closer, then I end up banging up and getting caught up on my turning post and the dock, and because of the wind. So I really need an accurate way to be able to turn. I'm that is so close in, again, that kayakers will be there. They're going slow. Canoeists will be going in there. They'll be going slow. I'm perfectly happy with a little ball or something or other, or maybe a crab trap is more dangerous because somebody will get caught up with propellers in it or something or other. Nobody should be water skiing in. I mean, that would be foolhardy to be water skiing that close to.
It's against the law to water ski that close. Yeah.
I do want to say something. I wasn't going to do this, but there are two coves just to upriver from me, or downriver, I'm sorry, where many of these people live. And if we're going to be that worried about cluttering up this river, I'm just going to give this to you all for future action, because there's all kinds of illegal stuff sitting in that river right now.
All right.
I wanted to do it properly, and that's why I said day markers, because I was told that the only thing you can put out there is day markers. If there's something less obtrusive and less dangerous to somebody, I would love to put something smaller, like a little ball or something.
All right. Thank you, sir. Any further questions, Mr. Cooper, by the commission?
I have one suggestion, possibly. Can I make a correct, constructive suggestion? And that is that there are a number of small dredging projects.
Sir? Move up.
Charles Robinson again. There are a number of small dredging projects going on in our river, and Charles, maybe you could piggyback one of those projects and increase the size of your basin and accomplish what you want to do. And that's
okay. That's something he can discuss later. That's not. Thank you, though, for your suggestion. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
The matter is before the commission for discussion. Mr. Tankard?
When you consider the code 28.2-1205A, it seems to me that you've got one individual that would benefit from this project, and you've got a whole host of other people who use the river for a whole different group of activities. It seems to me that we ought to recommend denial based on that code. So I make a motion to deny.
Second.
Second by Mr. Robbins. Further discussion by Mr. Fox?
I've been fortunate enough to have a new boat myself on a number of occasions, and when you get that boat, you're very nervous about running aground, particularly running aground and fetching up on various objects, barnacles on the pier and so forth. But as a boater, you have an obligation to be able to control your craft, and it would certainly seem to me that Mr. Cooper in this case has a adequate size turn-in basin, and he should know the direction into his pier. And I would, based on that, I would support the staff's recommendation and the motion that's before us.
Any further comment to the motion, Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It seems to me that, as Mr. Tankard said, the private benefits are relatively small. And I think, based on the testimony we heard today, not necessarily well supported in terms of their necessity. I think there's an overwhelming concern for public safety, and we've heard that loud and clear from the protestants. And I think when you weigh the two, the public safety concerns outweigh the private benefits.
Right. Any further comment? Well, I want to compliment everyone. I know any time you have good neighbors that get together where there is an objection such as this nature, it's difficult. It's not just outward conflict. It's a conflict of the heart when you really care for someone. You've been around them, and I sense that here today. That's why I initially brought up the possibility of some type of compromise that would be beneficial to all. However, after saying that and listening to the comments of my fellow commission members, they are exactly right. Individual benefits are certainly outweighed by the public opposition. However, keep in mind the Code of Virginia allows two crab pots per person, and the crab pots need not be in the water during the winter months, but after March through November 30th, they can be placed in the water. that may be of benefit to you. Make sure they have the proper call rings and everything in it. The matter is before the commission for a vote. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you very much for your presentation.